No, that was not written by Prince Harry and Princess Meghan. That was from the Animals. We got to get out of this place, but that seems to be the new the new theme song of, and I would say Prince Henry or Prince Harry, but I can't anymore because he's no longer a prince and she is no longer a princess. They're just when Harry met Meghan. Of course, this week, the monarchy and Buckingham Palace were rocked with the news that Harry and Meghan decided that they would like to break away from their official royal duties as members of the royal family and lead a somewhat quote-unquote normal life and actually leave Britain and maybe go between Britain and North America, which seems to be like Canada now. It was certainly a major, major seismic shift in the tradition of the monarchy, starting with the Queen, who apparently was blindsided. From all reports, Prince Charles, the heir to Queen Elizabeth, is not very happy about this. And obviously, it certainly changed the dynamic between the future heir, William, and his brother Harry, who many think that as much as William was going to be the king by all rights and by heredity, he really was going to perhaps change the monarchy in sharing many of the duties with his brother Harry, because Harry is very popular within the within Britain. And so they were almost looking like they actually may have done it while William would have been the king in formal. Harry would have played a major role in that. But all that seems to have changed since he got married a few years ago and now had his first child. And so we've definitely, I think, in the world of not only pop culture, but just in the news, this has been one of the bigger news stories. And so I have a friend of mine who is a major royal watcher and a big, big fan of Harry and Meghan. So I thought that I would bring her on to discuss her insights as someone who really watches this stuff closely. If you listen to my podcast that is that appears every week on WGNplus.com, and it has been for the last 3.5 years, I'm actually up to, what, episode number 191, so I've done quite a few. I hope you are listening. It's at WGNplus.com or wherever you find your favorite podcast. A new podcast is posted every Monday, so a new one will be posted tomorrow. It's called Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, so take a look and listen for that. But I welcome to the airwaves here Emily Arminetti. Hello, Emily.
Hey, Jim.
So, lots brewing, not only this week, but even in the last 24 hours, this story continues to develop. Have you heard the latest?
Have I heard? Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, this is big. We have a royal resolution, is what I would like to call it.
Well, I want to know if this is a progressive pair or a bunch of spoiled royals. That's my view here. But tell the folks what the I mean, there was a big powwow with all the heirs, Queen Elizabeth, Charles, William, and Harry, earlier this week, as they were trying to figure out how do they remain a member of the family, but don't remain. This is all new charted territory. It's like having two popes when Benedict, you know, resigned, and yet Francis is in there. But just yesterday, some really interesting resolution. Tell everybody what just happened.
Okay, so I mean, two statements were issued yesterday. The first by the Queen, which, you know, was a very personal and emotional statement. And the point of her statement was to basically let people know we have reached a resolution. Okay, so she was not getting into the details of this, but she was basically acknowledging that they are much loved members of the family and they will remain that way. And she's also acknowledging the challenges and the scrutiny they've experienced. And she's saying, we have come to we hope an agreement that will allow them to lead, you know, peaceful lives. And so that is what the Queen had to say about it. Now, on the heels of that, Buckingham Palace revealed the details of this, which is that, kind of in a surprise to me. So they have agreed they will no longer be working royals. And what that means is they will not be using their HRH titles.
So the Prince or Royal Princess,
Her Royal Highness, There's been a lot of speculation about whether the Queen would let them continue to do that or not. And so the decision is that you're not working. I think the point here is that the overarching decision is you can't be half in and half out. You're either in or you're out. And so they're out. So no more HRH titles. They are required to step back from public duties. So they cannot perform any duties officially representing the Queen, including Harry's military appointments. And, you know, a lot of the royal correspondents are saying that's a really big deal because the military is something that Harry has been very passionate about. So that's part of the deal. They will not be paid through any public funds. However, apparently, they will continue to receive an allowance from Prince Charles's estate, which they've always said has accounted for like 95% of their income. So I think they wanted people to know, like, look, we haven't really been ever taking that many funds from the public, but, you know, obviously the British public is scrutinizing this in part because their tax dollars fund the royal family. So yeah, this is something that people want to know about.
Yeah, we should say that, you know, at the end of the day here, Harry and Meghan are not going to be hard up. Word is that Harry, through his inheritances and his father, has already a war chest of $35 million. That's not like having a billion, but they're certainly going to be living a very lavish lifestyle. They're not going to be living in castles. Maybe they don't want to live in castles. But what I think was key to what you were saying was that seemed to flesh out yesterday when this announcement came that they would no longer have their titles, that they would no longer be doing royal duties. They would no longer be representing the Queen. When this initially happened, it seemed as if they did want, like you were saying, that they almost wanted their cake and eat it too. They wanted all the spoils of royalty. They wanted, all the attention and to be able to do whatever they, you know, and to have their titles. But they didn't want to have to do all the things and give all the sacrifices that were part of that. And that's that. And what I'm very impressed at is, you know, the Queen certainly has made some acknowledgments here, and she has compromised. So she's proved, even though she's 92 years old, and she is certainly, the walking embodiment of the monarch tradition, she certainly made some concessions to her grandson. But at the same time, I think she did lay down the law to say, okay, if you're going to do this, I wish you luck. This is your choice, but you can't have your feet in both sides. You're either a royal or you're not. If you want the spoils of the royalty and all that comes with it, and then there's also something called duty and service. That's the payback. You can't have all the cool stuff and then be a prince a la carte. Well, I don't want to do this, but this is cool, and that's cool, but this is annoying. Well, sorry, it's all or nothing. And that's pretty much where they are, and that is very surprising. Because as we've talked, personally, Harry and Meghan are certainly an asset to the monarchy, very popular with the public, at least they used to be. And so by allowing them to cast themselves aside in the future, they may be hurting the popularity of the monarchy. But I give the Queen credit for saying, no, there's something about tradition, there's something about duty, and there's something about service. And that's part of the deal.
Right. And I also think, you know, it's not like a spiteful thing, you know, it's more a practical issue. I mean, the other part of this is that they've made it clear they would like to work toward financial independence. And I think that is really a euphemism for we want to go and have jobs and make money. And it gets really, really messy for royals who are working royals to have jobs. They really can't do that because the problem is they cannot be seen to be trading in on their titles and their status. So I think that's part of needing to relinquish those
titles. And I do believe,
you know, they really do.
And I do believe that that Meghan wants to act. I think that I think you're going to see her in a movie. You're going to see her doing something that is back into her old stomping ground. She's already moved away from Buckingham Palace. I've read stories about her picking up some friends at the airport, and she's going about her life in this new way. I think, sadly, at least to some extent, I think this is going to be very hard for Harry. Harry was born in that bubble. Harry understands that world. You know, this was maybe a new world for Meghan, and she didn't like the scrutiny. She didn't like the formality. She maybe didn't like the fact that Harry was a spare heir. You know, that's the reality of it. You know, Prince Andrew and Prince Edward, these, if you're not the heir, if you're not Charles, like, you know, like his father, the mechanism, you know, recognizes you, but the spotlight is on the king and the heir. And that's William and that's Kate and their three children. So maybe, you know, Meghan was expecting more to this. And when once she got into the mechanism, after the wedding was over, after the baby was born, all the spotlight was on her. And once those two events were finished, it's like, okay, now, just so you know, it's William and Kate, and it's George and Charlotte and Louis. That's the airline. And the other folks, we'll pay attention to you, and you'll be popular. But in terms of the tradition, that's the king. And so I think she may have had a little problem with that.
You get to stand on the balcony, but you're going to be in the back row. Yeah. You know, that's kind of how it goes.
And I have to say, you have to love the British press. Right away, they called it Megxit, which is perfect. I mean, perfect. Yes. You know, the Brexit and Megxit. I mean, you can't get a better pun than that. And then, of course, the British press that has been accused of being a little racially against Meghan for her mixed race heritage. Right away, they were calling her Yoko Ono. That she, like, Yoko apparently broke up the Beatles, and now Meghan was breaking up the royal family. I mean, so there's a lot of issues floating around here, but big stuff this week, certainly with the loss of their titles, and they will be paying back the British people $3 million, apparently, for some renovations that were made to their apartment in London.
Yes, they will. Well, yeah, and part of that is because apparently when they are in the UK, they will continue to live in that residence. But see, now they're kind of like private citizens, I suppose.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they will still.
I mean, yes, they're still members of the royal family, but again, not working members of the royal family.
Yeah, I mean,
they're going to pay back the money. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that. I mean, you almost have to separate those, as you just said. They are members of the royal family, but they are not. But that's also a family and a business, and they are not a part of the business anymore. They're just a part of the family. Jim Tarano filling in. I'm sorry. I have to take a quick break here, Emily. Hold on. I'll be back to you. Just stay where you're at. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Very good. Jim Tarano filling in for Dean Richards. We're going to take a quick break. Back talking about Harry and Meghan. What the heck's going on with those wild children? Right after this. No switching. Jim Tarano filling in for Dean Richards this morning. Hope you had a good time. If you've been with us since 9 o'clock, we've had quite an interesting show. We've had some silliness with Dean at the top. We've talked a little sports. We've talked a little pop culture, and now we're talking a little royal talk with Emily Arminetti, who is a royal watcher. We've talked about so far the official things of what the new Megxit resolution, or you said, which I like, the royal resolution.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering now, you are a royal watcher. You have been a huge supporter of Harry and Meghan, as we've talked about on my podcast many times. You root for love.
I do. Well, I don't root against it. So, yes, I guess you could say.
You root for love.
I guess.
Yeah, that's, I mean, you should have a t-shirt that says, I root for love.
Maybe I will.
And so I want to know.
My birthday's in August, so, you know, feel free.
So I would like to know. We've talked about a lot the official things, but just from a royal watcher and a big fan of Harry and Meghan, what's your perspective on this? Where do you fall down on this?
I mean, in a way, I think it's a little bit sad because, I mean, this is a 1,500-year-old institution, and I feel like this was so dramatic and, you know, the way it caught the family off guard. And so I think there's something a little bit sad about this and a little bit dark about it. I also think part of their appeal was this kind of fairy tale idea, you know, that she sort of was just this, like, once again, she's a commoner, she's an American. I mean, she's certainly not the first quote-unquote commoner to marry into that family. But everything about it just seemed like a fairy tale, which, you know, and they had so much glamour about them. But I don't know. I mean, I also think at the same time, they did seem like they were really suffering. I mean, anyone who watched that documentary that they did with the British journalist Tom Bradby could see that they were both being very deeply unhappy, mostly with how they were being treated by the media. And honestly, at the end of the day, I feel like, how can you really force them to continue to live like that if they truly want out?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I agree with you. I think what's interesting, when I come up with an opinion, I don't make knee-jerk opinions, but when I do decide on something, I don't waver. And I have been all over the board on this one. The story itself has continued to change and has been very fluid and develops almost day by day. So it's hard to really, what you may have thought about on Tuesday, based on new facts that happen, you change your mind on Thursday. And that just happened again, with new news yesterday about them losing their titles and everything. But the one thing that seems to me that, and you hate to get into this, and I'm not trying to, you know, label anything, but this was very millennial. I mean, this smacks of the millennial tag, and I'm not making any judgments, but in terms of what the knock is against millennials, and I'm sure right now, you know, Harry and Meghan are talking to Prince Charles and saying, okay, boomer. But this really is, you know what? I don't want to do this. This is not my thing. It's annoying. I just think, like, you know, this is what you were born into, at least from Harry's standpoint. You know, Meghan came in, should have known what was expected. And to just bail on this, I hope that Harry is all in on this, and this is not just something that he's doing because his wife is giving him a hard time. I don't know if that's happening or not. I hope not, because, you know, as I said before, he was born in that bubble, and that's the world that he does know.
Right. He's never known any other life. So
no.
I think it will be really interesting to see how this unfolds. But, and I think it is confusing, because on one hand you have, you know, when you read the reports coming out of the UK, you've got sources saying that this is all her and that she is driving this. Then you also have sources saying, you know what, Harry's wanted out for a long time. He is totally traumatized over what happened with his mother. You know, and he feels that, like, that whole life and, you know, the media obsession with her, and that all of that led to her death. And so he's wanted out for a long time too. And Meghan has just empowered him to do this. So it's hard to really, get a grip on really who is driving this. But also the motivation, it's like, again, you know, I'm taking what they said in their documentary at face value, that, you know, they've had a really rough time and they don't feel they've had a lot of support. But on the flip side, there's a lot of cynical reports out there that are speculating whether this actually has more to do with the fact that they've kind of realized how powerful a brand they already have and are going to try to figure out a way to monetize that. And well, so that's a very cynical point of view.
Well, the only thing I could...
one that's out there, so it's hard to really know.
The only thing I hope not is that I hope that Bravo television executive Andy Cohen is not watching this, because I could just see the light bulb going on over his head. Wait a minute. Harry and Meghan, spare air's gone wild. And this is the new reality show. And I could just see this right before, you know, Housewives of Beverly Hills. We've got Harry and Meghan. And wow, I mean, the funny thing is, as crazy as an idea that is, could you imagine the ratings for that?
I can assure you that Andy Cohen has already got people on this.
but,
you know, and they've said they're going to move to North America, and it sounds to me like they're staying Canada. But I think it was Sharon Osbourne was talking about this the other day on, you know, she's on a talk show, and she was saying, just wait, I bet you they'll end up in L.A., and she might be right. That said, You know, part of what their end of the deal is that they've made it clear that they, everything they do will continue to uphold the values of the Queen. And so what that means is they do actually have to be really careful about what they do next. In all seriousness, it will be interesting to see. I mean, Meghan, you mentioned, you know, your prediction is she may start acting again. I'm wondering if she's going to try to go kind of the more Oprah, Michelle Obama route of like speaking engagements and, you know, books and things like that. Like, it's just, it's hard to tell, but whatever it is they do, they can't really be seen to be doing something like kind of gross and tacky, you know?
Well, the only thing that I would say in closing here is that if they were looking to minimize the attention given to them, this only does the opposite. Because now they are an oddity, they're an anomaly, and they've almost put a spotlight on themselves again. And maybe that was the goal, at least from her mind. I'm not sure, but this story is still developing, and it is quite an interesting, especially as you said, you know, a 1,500-year-old?
I mean, I think at least 15,
yeah.
At least the kind of the modern day monarchy as we know it.
I mean,
it has to be at least that old.
I mean, the thing about it is, I made a joke earlier, but it is true. In our lifetime, we've seen a lot of changes to traditions. You know, as I said, right now, in theory, we have two popes. There hadn't been a resignation of a pope in 600 years. And now a member of the royal family is not just, you know, not into it and not wanting to be it and maybe, you know, mad about their, as I said before, their role of the spare heir, but they're actually doing something about it, which was unheard of. As I said before, all those other spare heirs like Andrew and Margaret and Princess Anne, they all just bit their lip. What was that phrase you said? Don't complain. What is the...
Oh, well, that was the Queen Mother. Never complain, never explain. That was her right. One of her mottos.
Well, that is gone. That motto is gone in 2020. So we will see what happens on the ongoing saga. Emily Arminetti, thank you so much for joining me. And if you want to hear more of Emily, she joins me regularly on my podcast, Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, that appears with a new episode every Monday. Thanks for sharing your Sunday with us, Emily.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. Anytime.
Okay. Jim Toronto filling in for Dean Richards. We'll take a quick break. Be back after this. No switching.